Well, good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful summer's morning, too. And welcome to visitors who are with us. We've got two ladies all the way from Stornoway today. Welcome aboard. And everybody is welcome to have a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service in the small hall. You have most of the intimations on your sheet, but let me just highlight that last Sunday we had a retiral offering for Sri Lanka, and it raised £223. So thanks to everybody who contributed to that. Today is the deadline for the summer magazine for a June, July, August edition. So items to Audrey Scott by today, please. Wednesday, 11 o'clock, the midweek worship. Thursday, 10:30, the prayer time. And on Friday, 7 till 9, we have the Adult Christian Education Discussion Group. I also commend to you on Friday mornings, 10 till 12, the office is open and we're looking for volunteers to help clean the church and look after the church grounds. We're also looking for help with flowers. Every week we have flowers in the sanctuary and they make it beautiful for our worship. And then after the service, we give them away to people who are ill or housebound or in particular circumstances. They're always much appreciated, and it's a lovely ministry. But in the course of the 12-month calendar, there's a bit of a dip at the moment. So if you'd like to help, it's most appreciated. If you're following the General Assembly this week, you can find it online at churchofscotland.org.uk. And if you don't know how to do that, ask your grandchild. And the CAP session meets a week on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I commend to you also our regular food bank collection and the collection for Malawi. For the Malawi, it's books and tools. So because the General Assembly is meeting, this is Church Sunday, and we're thinking about the church. The church is not just what you see in front of you. The church is all the other churches throughout Scotland, throughout the world, for 2,000 years, back to the Old Testament times, to Abraham, to Adam. And it's those that we've loved that have gone to heaven who await us there. So it's a fellowship in heaven and on earth. So as part of that great chorus of praise, let us sing hymn 420, The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
Thank you.
God's grace that we, like them, lovely can only on high dwell with thee. We meet as the family of God. Those who can pray together, our Father, must surely be brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for calling us to the church this morning. And we praise and thank you for calling us to be the church this morning, to be your family, your people, your ambassadors and servants. We thank you that we can pray our Father to you, and we can look upon each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we belong to the biggest family on earth and in heaven. And this morning we can join in a ceaseless chorus of praise all around the world and in heaven. We thank you for your people at worship, even now in Africa, or America, Australia, Asia, as well as Europe. So many styles, so many varieties, so many denominations, and yet all united in praising you. We also rejoice when we think of our rich heritage historically. We give thanks for Abraham and Moses and the Israelites, for the prophets. We give thanks for the early church, for the martyrs, the monks and friars, the reformers. We give you thanks for ministers, Sunday school teachers, parents, all who have brought the good news down the years to us today. O Father, forgive us when we are lukewarm and hesitant about sharing the good news with other people. Forgive us for allowing diversity among the churches to become division of your church. Forgive our preoccupations with lesser things while the church declines and we lose touch with young adults and teenagers. Forgive us when we lose faith and hope and confidence and courage. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your patience with us. We thank you for your church, your flock, your family. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power, and fit your church to meet this hour. Come and raise us up from dry bones languishing in the valley to be a mighty salvation army. Come and fill our sails with life and power, and sweep us onwards to new horizons. Come and use us as the body of Christ. Let us be your hands and feet and voice, the channels of your grace and love and power. Work in us and use us to further your kingdom on earth and in the hearts and minds of everyone. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, how's that? The minister's got one asleep already. So, how are you today? All right? Do you like my wee ornaments? Wee models of the church. Put that up there because today is Church Sunday. The General Assembly of the Church of Scotland meets in Edinburgh. And here we are meeting here in Saltcoats as the church. Come to church every week. So let's think about the church today a wee bit. If you looked in your sheets today, you would see that the talk just now is entitled this, Can you guess what letters are missing? Right, Eva, have a guess. What letters are missing? Laura? What would make that a word? What's the word? Church. So what's missing? You and are. Or put another way, what's missing? You are. You get it? If you're outside the church and you're talking to somebody, and if they make any criticism of the church and they'll say, what's wrong with the church? So I'll tell you what's wrong with the church. There's something missing. What's missing? You are. Try that on them. Well, let's think about the church. You come every week. You know what it looks like. But do you know some of this? What do you call this thing? There's a word for it. You know the technical word for it. Begins with P.
Fly?
No. It's a pulpit. Right? So that's what that's called, a pulpit. And then the next thing we'll be doing is reading the Bible from this bit. You know what this thing's called? Well, it's for teaching. It's for reading the Bible especially. It's for talking. It's called a lectern. You know what this thing is then? It's obviously a table, but it's got a name. Begins with C. Communion table. What else have we got? Yeah, what are you sitting on? Pews. P-E-W-S, pews. Do you know what this is called, the passageway? No. Begins with Aether. It's called an aisle. Not to be confused with an island, but it's A-I-S-L-E. They've all got deeper meanings. See the aisle? People come down the aisle to get baptized as a wee baby. They come down the aisle to get married. They come down the aisle to make profession of faith, to become members of the church. They come down the aisle at the funerals. They come down the aisle to be made an elder. Come down the aisle to be made a minister. The aisle, that little passage there, has a lot of memories for a lot of people. And it's a little model of life. You come in the door, you come down the road of life. And all kinds of special moments throughout your life. The pulpit and the lectern is where we read or we talk. But it's not just words. It's a word from God through the words. Your seats isn't just something to sit on when you're tired. Sometimes in life you have to stop and be still, pause and think and chew over things. And people sit here and have a thought to themselves, or they listen to the word from God. So there's all kinds of things. That's the things. But the church isn't all to do with buildings and things. The church is the people. And if you look around today, you'll see different people. So you've got Harry. Harry does PowerPoint. He does a lot of other things as well, but that's the obvious one. If you look over there, you see Jim. He's in the organ, and he's got the skill to play the organ. Wouldn't be the same without the organ. Music's a big part of our worship. So we've got the choir. And then we've got the Sunday school teachers. We've got the guild. We've got church officer, welcomers at the door, offering collectors, counters. There's 101 different jobs. And just about everybody has a different job of some kind. And that's what makes the church the church. Everybody does their wee bit. So you're an important part. At the heart of the church, right? At the heart of it, is you. And everybody's important in their own different way. A lot of the jobs are obvious. You can hear Jim playing his organ. But less obvious is that Agnes Wilkie sets up the flowers. Or you've got Arlene has been recording the service. And Neil makes copies of the service and they go to people who can't come to church. So we're very grateful to everybody who does everything that they do. And every one of us, it's like a jigsaw with many pieces. And there's a piece, your shape. And if your piece is missing, the whole jigsaw's not complete. So always remember that you're a vital part of the jigsaw, of the family, whatever picture you want to use. In fact, the Bible uses lots of pictures for the church. It talks of us as being the sheep of the Good Shepherd Jesus. It talks about us being the family of our Heavenly Father. It talks about us being like living bricks, making up a living building. So let's celebrate today your part, all our parts, in the bigger picture of the church throughout the world, down the years, up in heaven and on earth. So let's sing together hymn 151 in Mission Praise, the White Book, "For I'm Building a People of Power." Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading from the Acts of the Apostles at chapter 2. Peter had a big sermon on the day of Pentecost. Many people joined the Christians. They spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship, and sharing in the fellowship meals and the prayers. Many miracles and wonders were being done through the apostles, and everyone was filled with awe. All the believers continued together in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would sell their property and possessions and distribute the money among all, according to what each one needed. Day after day, they met as a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. And turning to chapter 4 at verse 32. The group of believers was one in mind and heart. No one said that any of his belongings was his own, but they all shared with one another everything they had. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God poured rich blessings on them all. There was no one in the group who was in need. Those who owned fields or houses would sell them, bring the money received from the sale, and hand it over to the apostles, and the money was distributed to each one according to his need. And chapter 5, verse 12. Many miracles and wonders were being performed among the people by the apostles. All the believers met together in Solomon's porch. Nobody outside the group dared to join them, even though the people spoke highly of them. But more and more people were added to the group, a crowd of men and women who believed in the Lord. As a result of what the apostles were doing, sick people were carried out into the streets and placed on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. And crowds of people came in from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were ill and who had evil spirits in them, and they were all healed. And turning to Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 19. We have then, my brothers, complete freedom to go into the most holy place by means of the death of Jesus. He opened for us a new way and a living way through the curtain, that is, through his own body. We have a great priest in charge of the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart and sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience, and with bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold on firmly to the hope that we possess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming near. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing hymn 424, Thy hand, O God, has guided thy flock from age to age. 424. Thank you. In the course of my whole ministry, if I was to list the top 10 of questions I've been asked, and the top 3 would be, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? So let's address that one today, especially with a General Assembly meeting in Edinburgh. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? The short answer is yes. We just read in Hebrews there, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. It's pretty obvious, is it not? My second church, I was saying to you recently, burnt down. And then it got rebuilt again. And people used to come and see the refurbished church. It used to get thousands of visitors coming to see the refurbished church. Not thousands of visitors to worship, thousands coming to see the building. So we made a wee leaflet for the visitors coming. And it said in the leaflet this, the church is more than a building. It's a meeting place of things visible and invisible. It is the house of God. It is the home of God's people, where children are baptized, adults confirmed, couples married, loved ones buried. Here there is human and divine communion around the Lord's table, in prayer, song, in reading the Word of God, and hearing the message from God. Here lives are touched, relationships deepened, the intellect stimulated, the emotions stirred, the will roused. The church often suffers from underestimation. Some people think it's a couple of wifeies crowding in. What is the church? Well, lots of answers. Obviously, the church is a building. You know the sanctuary, the foot, the Ivanhoe Drive. I'm away to the church. I'm going down to the church, up to the church along the road. We spend a lot of money, time and effort on buildings in churches. The General Assembly will be lamenting this week that half of all our expenditure is on property. But isn't it wonderful that every community has a holy spot dedicated to God, exclusively for worship? This is where God comes. It's a miracle people come. It's a bigger miracle God comes. But here heaven and earth meet, things visible and things invisible. And only those who come know that. The church is, however, more than the bricks and mortar, it's the people. If the church burnt down, as I had the experience of, the people still meet somewhere else. And just as the building is dedicated to God, so are the people. And just as the building's a holy place, so are the people. We are the living stones making up a living church. We come into the building, but we go out from the building. There's a natural rhythm in our discipleship. We bring the needs of the parish to God in prayer, and we bring the power of God to the needy parish, practically in service. To do only one, you would choke. You have to breathe in and out. Are we saints or sinners? People outside seem to have the wrong end of the stick. The outsiders seem to have a higher opinion of us than we have. They seem to get disappointed when church people are less than perfect. They call us hypocrites. They profess faith on a Sunday and then they're different on a Monday. They say you get better folk outside the church. The church folk are therefore hypocrites, not practicing what they preach. We know who we are. We know we're a work in progress. We know we are repentant sinners. This is Sinners Anonymous. We're trying to kick the habit. We confess we need the support of others to help us kick the habit. The people outside are the hypocrites who won't come inside, who won't confess their sins, who won't acknowledge their need of others to help them, who try to do it themselves. All we like sheep have gone astray. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We need God. We need one another. I did once advertise my first church as Sinners Anonymous one Sunday evening. Nobody came. Think of the different varieties of churches, denominations. It's like ice cream. It comes in many flavours. Church of Scotland, Church of England, Salvation Army, Episcopal, Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist. It goes on and on. And within the denominations, you get high church and low church, evangelical and liberal, modern and traditional, mint suckers, pandro ploppers, caramel chewers and crinkle wrappers. There's a healthy diversity, or sometimes it ends up in division. It's a worldwide church. We're multinational, the biggest family on earth and in heaven. There are more Christians than anything else in the world. I've been privileged to go around the world. I've stood in other pulpits in Jamaica, Taiwan, Kenya, Brazil. Whenever we worship, always remember we are surrounded by the unseen cloud of witnesses. There are other people down the road, across the country, round the globe, in heaven and on earth. There's a ceaseless chorus of praise, always somebody somewhere worshipping. And like the radio, you switch it on and off, we switch on. But when we switch off, someone else is still broadcasting and receiving. We're a historical church with a very rich heritage. We can go back 2,000 years to Jesus, another 2,000 to Moses, beyond that to Adam. A continuous church. We are in the line of the prophets, the apostles, the desert fathers, the monks, the friars, the reformers. It's us today. And the church in heaven as well as on earth. There are those who have gone before us. But we are the ones today, here and now, alive and kicking. The church visible as well as the church invisible. The church militant as well as the church triumphant. When the saints go marching in, singing the eternal hallelujah chorus, and God wipes away every tear from their eyes, and then there's this pure praise and worship and fellowship and love, more people than the sand on the seashore or the stars in the universe, and every knee is bowing, confessing Jesus is Lord. That's the tradition we belong to. And the church is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the hands and feet and voice, the members of the body. It's human and divine combined. He needs human agents like us. We need his wisdom and guidance and strength and courage. But what a wonderful combination. What a partnership. Jesus and me. Jesus and us. What we can do together, there is no stopping us. We are the Jesus folk. Jesus' church. Jesus' body. Jesus' partners. Yes, you do have to go to church to be a Christian. But more than that, I would rephrase the question. We have to be the church to be a Christian. Going to church is just a part of being a Christian. We be the family of God. It's not something you do. It's not somewhere you go. It's something you be. You are a member of the family. We belong to the flock of the Good Shepherd. We are soldiers in the Salvation Army, faithful disciples of the Master, living bricks in a living building, branches of the true vine, the bride of Christ, wedded to him, the body of Christ. John Calvin said, whoever would have God as his father must have the church as his mother. Both Catholics and Protestants agree on one thing. We need the church. We are the church. God works in and through his church to reach the world. There are no Robinson Crusoe Christians on desert islands with a private Christianity. Jesus isn't there. He's with the marketplace. He's with the people. He's with his people amongst the people. What kind of a family would it be if it never sat down together? If it never shared a fellowship meal together? If it didn't embrace others? If it wasn't a corporate body? A family, by definition, is together. Diversity working in unity. Our society is cracking up and broken because it doesn't believe in that. We live in an age of individualism. The words are me, my, mine, not us, ours, we. We are the counter-society to our society. We are the living embodiment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are that other choice before people's eyes. See how much these Christians love one another. So we do have to go to church, but much more than that, we have to be the church. Very briefly, for three reasons. Because God commands us. Hebrews 10. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. When God commands us to worship, to baptize, to go into all the world, teach the nations. Where two or three are gathered, I will be there. Do this in remembrance of me. When he commands, we obey, for no other reason than he commands. He doesn't command as a dictator, he commands as a loving father who knows what's best for us. He knows that our salvation, our health, our safety is together. Secondly, it is the whole essence and meaning of Christianity. How can you love your neighbour without speaking to your neighbour, meeting your neighbour, getting involved with your neighbour? It is the whole meaning of the faith that we be together. And together not as a holy huddle, as an ever opening outwards, all embracing, reaching out together. We need other people and they need us. God made it that way deliberately. He is a community, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And he wants his people to be a community. Me, the other and him. That's the Trinity. Jesus on earth surrounded himself with disciples. And thirdly, it should be a natural desire. The people who ask the question, do you have to go to church to be a Christian, are usually people who don't go. And they kind of want to ratify their own position of why they don't go. There's something wrong with a boyfriend who says, do I have to go out on Friday night with a girl to still be her boyfriend? You should be wanting to go out on Friday night with her. Shouldn't we want to be in church all day, every day, and have to tear ourselves away in between times? If it's not like that, then we should examine our own attitude. For us not to go to church is like a soldier not attending roll call, a musician skipping practice, a sports person avoiding training, a child avoiding breakfast, a lover skipping a date. It hurts ourselves, others are impoverished, and it stands up God himself. He comes and they don't. Catch the vision. This is how God created the world and wants it to be. And his vision for all eternity in the future is that we'll not all have ensuite separate facilities, that we'll all be together in a perfect fellowship, a perfect harmony, a perfect cooperation. And this is the foretaste of it here and now. Amen. Amen. So now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you for the way that you have created this world and this life for us. We thank you for giving us families, friends, communities, congregations, one another. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have to play our part within each of these. So take our time, our talents, our money and our lives and use us in your service, we pray. Amen. Let's sing hymn 421, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. 421. Let us pray. Lord, we pray today for your church. In particular, we pray for the Church of Scotland, for the General Assembly meeting this week, for the moderator. We pray for the Guild and its various projects. We pray for the work of mission throughout the country, with chaplaincies in hospitals and universities, prisons, schools, the armed forces, industry, to the blind, to the deaf. We think of new churches being set up in new housing areas. We pray for your blessing on the work of Crossreach, caring for the elderly, for addicts, AIDS sufferers, people with dementia, epilepsy, people needing counselling, people with learning disabilities. We think of the world aspect of the church, with missionaries going abroad and faith share partners coming to Scotland. We pray for your blessing on the 1,000 ministers, 30,000 elders, 400,000 members. We pray for your blessing on the work of Life and Work magazine, St. Andrew Press. We think of the work done in property and finance and stewardship and education, issues to do with doctrine and worship, ecumenical affairs, social issues. Lord, be with the church at local level, presbytery level, national level, international level. Bless the Church of Scotland and bless the Church in Scotland. And hear us as we bring to you this weekend our particular prayers. We pray for those who are in hospital. We pray for Mrs. McIntosh in Cross House. We pray for Joe Barraclough, who's there as well. We pray for people who are in care homes. We pray for people on courses of treatment. We pray for those who are long-term ill. And we pray for all the carers, the professional carers, but also family and friend carers. We pray for your comfort and peace upon all those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. And in the wider world, we pray for India, which today concludes its six-week election, the world's biggest ever election with 900 million voters. We think of the strained relationship between Iran and America. We think of the trade war between America and China, the tensions between Israelis and Palestinians, the civil war in Venezuela, the war in Yemen and Syria. We think of the world facing global climate change. We think of hundreds of millions of persecuted Christians today. We pray for your blessing on our own country with the Brexit stalemate, with the European election on Thursday. And we pray for your blessing on all those who are crying today because of their poverty or injustice or loneliness. People crying because they feel trapped or under pressure, addicted, in disabilities. People wrestling with guilt and fear and the weight of responsibility. Lord, at every level of life, we need you, and we need you to send someone to help. Work in us and work through us for the extension of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 339 in the Red Book, O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit give you light to guide you, courage to support you, and love to unite you, now and evermore.